Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin. The origin of the word mentor comes from Greek mythology and dates back to 800 BC, coming from the character Mentor in Homer's poem, The Odyssey. Now, when we think of a mentor, we think of the wisdom that he or she can impart to the benefit of the mentee. What's unexpected are the additional benefits mentorship brings to mentors themselves and also to the organizations they belong to, in our case, Toastmasters. So today we have with us a veteran Toastmaster who's literally mentored hundreds of new members. He'll enlighten us on the power of mentorship, how it can help support club growth, and perhaps help folks look at their Toastmasters membership in a whole new light. He's Marty Dickinson. He joined Toastmasters in 1990 and is a past president of Professional Presenters Toastmasters in Denver, Colorado. He has served both as an area and division governor, now called directors, and over the past 26 years has built three businesses almost entirely through speaking. He's also currently the membership director for the Colorado chapter of the National Speakers Association. Now here's a surprising twist. Marty is married to his high school sweetheart and is still married after 34 years. His secret, he says, hire your spouse as your business manager. Now, I'm not sure how this fits in with the topic of the day, but I'm sure congratulations are in order, Marty. This past August, Marty was featured on the main stage at the Toastmasters International Convention in Anaheim for an educational session where he presented his strategies on this particular topic. Marty's article, Build a Rockstar Mentoring Program, subtitled Having Strong Mentors Help Clubs and Members Grow and Stay Vibrant, can be found in the March 2025 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Coming to us today from Aurora, Colorado, metropolitan Denver, Marty Dickinson, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Thanks for having me, Greg. Happy to serve.
34 years, I have to ask, why is this in your intro?
Well, it's not such a common thing for two kids that started together in high school to still be together, and we are, and we're happy about that, and it just goes to show that it is possible, I guess.
And thanks, of course, for sharing it. It's all about good relationships, and of course, our topic today works on good relationships. So yeah, let's just get started. Marty, mentorship is an important part of the Toastmasters experience. So in a nutshell, what is the role of the mentor in Toastmasters, and what are some of the things that he or she does?
Well, I can only speak for myself because mentoring is different depending on what club you belong to and who the mentor is. But for me, I feel like whoever I mentor, I am a hand to hold. I bring in a new member and I introduce them to the club and to all the club roles, as well as what their goals are. I have to find out what their goals are. Is Toastmasters something they're joining because they want to improve their speaking skills? Do they want to overcome a confidence issue they have? Do they want to get a promotion at work? Or are they aspiring to become a professional speaker? So those are four totally different tracks from each other that the mentor needs to identify so that the membership of the Toastmasters member can be maximized.
You're helping them walk through the program in essence.
That's correct. Walking them through not only the program of the club itself, but also the Toastmasters program. So everybody starts out with an icebreaker, for example. So what exactly is an icebreaker? Well, the Pathways program shows that you have 4 to 6 minutes to talk about anything that you want. But the club, of course, wants you to introduce yourself to the club and talk about what your aspiration is, some of your challenges, why you joined. And the mentor gets the opportunity to find all that out in advance and say, yeah, the club really does want to know if you're married or how many brothers and sisters you have and all those things that we really don't want to talk about ourselves. I mean, that's what I find most people that are coming into a club brand new to Toastmasters, they really don't want to talk about themselves. So it's up to us to encourage them to make that one speech that really is all about themselves so that the members get to know them.
So you help them read between the lines, help them answer some of the questions maybe they don't know they need to ask.
That's right. And of course, the other, I think probably the most important thing is to show the new member that they're really not alone. I mean, all of us walk into this room for the first time and we don't know what to expect. We could have somebody explain Toastmasters to us for a couple of hours. And still, when we walk into the room for the very first time and go through the meeting or the event, as I call them, I think they're professional events. Once you go through that, you realize, oh, well, that's what Toastmasters is. That's how a meeting runs. But you don't know that until you are there. So the mentor's role in all this is try to get the new member introduced to the process of Toastmasters, because they don't know that either. I mean, it's, you have to be shown that or figure it out for yourself. And I believe that's what will promote longevity of members, because when they have a hand to hold, somebody to guide them through those first few weeks and first few months, they get really excited about the program that they're in, and they can see the development happening, and they want to get on the schedule to give presentations. They want to serve in other roles because they have this person that is nudging them along saying, yeah, you can do this. You can do this. You can sign up for this. You can do this role. Go ahead. I'll help you. I'll sit next to you. That's what people coming into Toastmasters need, unless they are from another more advanced speaking area. Like, we have an amazing collaboration between National Speakers Association and Toastmasters. So now we have a lot of professional speakers that are joining Toastmasters at the same time. So they might not need the same type of mentoring. That's where I call it onboarding. So, I mean, professional speakers, they have their own mentors and sometimes pay very, very big numbers to have those professional mentors and coaches. So they come into Toastmasters and they're really needing just some hand holding for fitting into the club and understanding what those roles are. But it's different than traditional mentoring, like a new member coming in from the outside, never having anything to do with Toastmasters before. They need a little bit more guidance.
Yeah, so you brought up a good point. I mean, we're assuming everyone that joins Toastmasters is a scared, stiff speaker. So you brought up the point that there might be some professional speakers that are coming in to perhaps practice what they're doing, getting better at what they do. Mentorship also doesn't end just with that new member. What about later on in the individual's Toastmasters journey?
That's right. I mean, I'm still friends with mentors I had 20 years ago. So there's a valid value for keeping the relationships building, because you can go to these mentors years later and ask them questions, even if you've moved on to another club. You can go back to them and ask them questions. You can go visit that club again. Mentors are really for life. And that's one of the differences between mentors and coaches. A coach you hire for help on a specific task, whereas a mentor, you're building a relationship that you're in it together for the duration. And that's one of the greatest parts about mentoring that I enjoy. I love when I hear from people that I've mentored years later and they tell me about their accomplishments. Like, wow, I had no idea you were going to go in that direction. That's so awesome for you.
I know. And sometimes you'll have different mentors. I had different mentors when I was an area director. I had a different mentor when I was a club officer. And every step of the way, you may have the same, or you might actually have different mentors. I know that when we were speaking earlier, you had mentioned something to me about you had a mentor that was encouraging you to move forward, or was that about one of your mentees that you encouraged to move forward?
Well, there were two different mentors that I had. One encouraged me to start speaking outside the Toastmasters Club. I am the least likely person to be using stages to promote my business. It took 6 full years for me to finally get to the point where speaking itself became part of my soul. And that's really important. That's one of the things that Toastmasters will deliver if you allow it, is that speaking really becomes part of you. It becomes part of something you want to do. It just took me a little longer than most people. But once that finally came, my mentor said to me, well, maybe you should try speaking outside of the Toastmasters Club and start building your business with speaking. And I never even thought about that before. It was a great opportunity, and that led for a whole future. But there was another mentor that encouraged me to get into leadership outside the club. And that was where I was introduced to becoming an area governor, which back then we called them governors instead of directors. So that's how long ago this was. But the point is that I was encouraged to get into leadership because of my fascination with bringing in new people to Toastmasters. I love bringing in visitors and helping them to find the right clubs and then encouraging them to join. And that's what leadership is all about, is really just taking that to the next level and making sure that existing members are maximizing their membership while you're also attracting potential new members to clubs. And I've been doing that ever since, whether I'm in an officer role or not. But that, those were the two main ways that mentors affected my business and my growth plan for myself for years to come. I'm still working on that. I'm still bringing in visitors and new members, and I'm still speaking on stages and expanding those areas. And it all started because of mentors and what they encouraged me to do.
That's the benefit to the mentee. Now, being a mentor, I mean, it's obvious from our conversation that it's fulfilling, and we know it makes us feel good that we're able to impart some of our wisdom and our knowledge on others, and to feel good that it helps us make a difference. So, Marty, what are some of the tangible benefits one can gain by being a mentor?
Well, there are several, Greg, and I'll give you three. The most important one, I believe, that's helped me over the years is the ability to adapt to different personality traits. I mean, everybody's different, and you don't really realize it until you mentor 3, 4, 5, 10 people, but every single person is different. And the way they receive information is different. The way that they present information to you is different. So that also means, number two, that you have to listen. So I've gained a lot of listening skills because of mentoring, really listening for not just what the person says to me, but what they're not saying too. You have to really read between the lines when you're mentoring someone. The first time you meet with a mentee, they don't have any idea who you are. And all of a sudden you're saying, so tell me about your biggest fears, which is public speaking in a lot of cases. And that can kind of put them off guard. So not only do you have to be a good listener and listen for what they're saying, but you have to be gentle in how you talk to them too. So different people receive information different ways, and it's all based on the different personality traits. And once you master that, once you get a higher skill level for really working with people, then what'll happen is something miraculous. And I had no idea this was going to happen, because the way I approached mentoring others originally was that it was a completely selfless act. I expected nothing in return. But what I did get in return that I wasn't expecting was, honestly, my business picked up, and I was able to work with people that I brought into my team much better. I could interview better. I could choose people that were able to work with me, because I was learning about all these personality traits. I had all this experience from mentoring people in Toastmasters that during the interview, I could tell who I was going to be able to work with well versus another person that would be a challenge. So the onboarding of them coming into my business was much easier than it was before. So that took some time to generate the skills to be able to do that. And it all comes back to what you said earlier, relationship building, but also to have the different personality traits.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's something that you don't necessarily think about. I've been a mentor as well for many, many years, and I did learn a lot about myself. One of the biggest things when I first started was realizing that I actually had something to share. I had something to add to help to others. I didn't realize at first that I was able to do that. The better listener, of course, you know, we talk about the curse of knowledge. We know too much, but we need to figure out who needs what. And the other thing I learned, and it was very humbling, was sometimes there are other ways of doing things. So you speak to someone who might be a brand new Toastmaster, has been in Toastmasters for a long time. They may see something that you haven't seen because you've seen so much. So yeah, I certainly agree. There's some huge benefits to being a mentor, and sometimes we just don't realize it. So I'm curious, Marty, it's been a long time since you first became a mentor. Is there one particular epiphany you may have had, or one thing that you've learned or gained or learned about yourself that perhaps you could share with us?
I would have to pick longevity. When it comes to mentoring, I realize that mentoring is not something you do for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or even a month. When you decide that you're going to be a mentor to someone, you could be mentoring them for years to come. And there should be a long-term vision that you have for anyone that you mentor, because they're starting out at one place and you need to track that. I always suggest to people that when I'm mentoring them to record their icebreaker and then record the speech that they give a year later and then watch them both, just one right after another, and they will see a miraculous difference. To enforce that and remind them of that, if you want your mentee to be there at every meeting, then you as a mentor need to plan your schedule so that you can be at every meeting. How could you expect your mentee to be there if you're not, if you're only there once a month or once every 2 months? So that's one epiphany that I had, is the longevity factor, but also the consistency that I had to show up so that my mentee would show up.
So you definitely have a job to do. Perhaps can you tell me about a time that you felt that you had done a good job or what you did really made a difference?
Sure. I remember one of my mentees, he did really well. He was going through the Pathways program. And one day I showed up at a meeting and he showed up at a meeting. He just had a small role like timer or grammarian or something. And one of the three speakers that we had on the schedule had an illness. So all of a sudden we only had two speakers. Well, this mentee of mine had been a member for about 6 months and again, was doing real well, making lots of progress. I'm one to challenge my mentees. So I suggested to this person, I said, well, I challenge you to fill that speaking spot. Even though he would have no idea what to talk about, and he accepted my challenge. And I said to him, we only have about 15, 20 minutes because we're going to have the opening, then table topics, and then you're going to be on as the first speaker. And he at first was a little not sure about that. But see, this is the benefit of building relationships between mentor and mentee. He knew that I would not challenge him beyond his capability. I knew he could do this. He knew that if I knew he could do this, that he would be able to pull it off. And he did a great job. Everybody at the end said, it didn't sound at all like you just threw that together in 10 or 15 minutes, because it was a topic that he knew. He could pick anything that he wanted, and he did a great job. So I think there's a satisfaction in that when a mentor is able to know his mentee well enough that you can give that thumb in the back. I mean, we all need a thumb in the back sometimes, right? Just a gentle push, not something that throws us off the cliff or over the edge, but just a gentle nudge that says, you're ready. You can do this. This kind of stuff always pays off. Whenever you challenge your mentees, and he told me later, probably a year that went by or something, that he was at an event and he was just sitting in the audience and the MC walked up to him and knew him personally and tapped him on the shoulder and said, our speaker is going to be about 10 to 15 minutes late. Could you go up on stage and just say something for 5 minutes to the audience? And he did. He took the challenge because he had done it before at Toastmasters. I mean, these are kind of things that are real world where it pays off, where we're able to practice these things in an environment that is safe, so that when you go out into the real world and you get these opportunities, you don't shy away from them, you take them. I mean, what a great opportunity to save the day and make the MC look like the star because he found someone that can just jump up on stage and do that. To hear something like that, even, you know, a year later or some time has passed and I have moved on to a different club, and then I get an email from the person that says that they accomplished this challenge. I love that. I mean, that's what we want. We want our mentees to grow and to take challenges and to just excel in what they're doing professionally.
Well, that's brilliant. Now, of course, there is the mentorship module in Pathways, a series of projects related to mentorship. I believe that starts at level 2. Besides that, how can someone go about becoming a mentor in Toastmasters?
Well, it depends on the club, again, like they always do. Typically, the mentoring role is managed by the membership chair of the club or the educational VP of the club. And it kind of switches back and forth. I think the education officer has plenty to do on their plate. So I always suggest that the membership VP take on that role. That doesn't mean that you're the mentor to everybody. It means you're responsible for having a mentoring program and recruiting mentors. So I think that is the fitting role for the membership VP. But if you are interested in mentoring, which I believe anyone who has been in Toastmasters for a year and is an active member, maybe you've served as an officer or you're getting into leadership, you can absolutely be a mentor and at the same time be an officer of the club. But I've seen mentors that have come into the club and they've only been a member for 3 or 4 months, and they just sink right into the Toastmasters program. They love it. They engage with it. They learn fast, and they want to just be there for others. I mean, some people are like that. They just fit into the mentoring role so well that you can get them started pretty early. But what I suggest is that for a first-time mentor, they should always have a checklist. And every club should create a checklist for what you want your mentors to accomplish with mentees. Number one, it puts everybody on the same page. You are instructing your mentees how to perform the roles. We actually have a club manual just for that. So it goes through all the different roles from step by step, even all the sub steps involved with roles. And it makes life so much easier because you know what to expect. There should be training for those mentors. Get your mentors together, have a training class, go through the checklist. And I have a checklist I'm happy to provide to anyone, by the way. So all you have to do is send an email to me at marty@professionalpresenterstoastmasters.com. I will be happy to share that with you. There's no website for it. I don't sell this. It's just a document that I update every few months or so as I gain new information myself. And you can use that checklist to recruit and train your mentors to let them know that we're not just throwing you to the wolves here. We're not just going to set you up with a mentee and say, good luck. No, you're going to get a checklist that you can walk through step by step sequentially and learn how to do this. So I just say, approach the president of your club, approach the membership VP or the VP of education, whoever it is that is responsible for mentors, and just start. One of my mentors said, you don't have to be good to start, but you have to start to get good.
Oh, I love that. Oh, this is a perfect transition because we spoke about the benefits of being a mentor. We've spoke about the benefits of being a mentee. In the article, you talk about a good mentoring program, or a rock star mentoring program, as you call it, is a solution to club growth, member retention, and satisfaction, and is the very glue that holds things in place. So perhaps can you enlighten us to some of the benefits to the actual club itself?
Oh, there are so many. I would say, number one, because you have a strong mentoring program, it all starts with the visitor. They walk in and they see a professional event. They see everything put together before the event begins. I mean, we have a challenge with hybrid now. I mean, we all do, right? If we're going to actually have a hybrid meeting, because equipment needs to be set up and tested, and there yet needs to be people that are looking for those first-time visitors walking in the door so that they can properly greet them. And when that happens, when it all works together through a proper mentoring program, a visitor walks in and says, oh my goodness, I want to join this. This is really a professional event, and they want to become part of it. On the opposite end as well, because you have the members who have been there in the club for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, they too are looking for reasons to stay. They want excitement too. They want excitement just like the first timers coming in. And that's why getting those people involved in a mentoring program can make that happen. I mean, every new person that comes into the club should be assigned to an experienced mentor. over time because you have to gain the experience first. But that's the key. Those two are linked. And the third, of course, is the current members that are wanting to look to their membership for guidance, for improving not just the basics, but they want to improve to higher levels, which can include the contests that Toastmasters offers. It can be teaching your skills and your leadership through becoming a district officer or just an officer of your club. It kind of starts there. But to get that mentorship, to getting involved into leadership roles of the club and your area and your division and your district, those are all mentoring moments that I call them. We're all looking to mentors and guidance and that thumb in the back to start at that one place in our Toastmasters club, but to elevate to other levels. And that all happens through mentoring. So that's why the three of those are linked in the middle through a mentoring program. I mean, out of everything I just described, can you just imagine if there was no mentoring at all? Think of the opposite. And how lost we would all be with zero mentoring at all. It just wouldn't work.
Yeah, I know, because you had mentioned in the article that when you first joined, you didn't even know you had a mentor or that was there is even a program in place.
That's right. And it was so difficult. I persevered. I mean, I joined because I physically and mentally and emotionally, I had to be a Toastmasters member, and I knew it. I mean, I knew that for the duration of my professional life, I would always have to be in Toastmasters because I needed that one day every single week that I was guaranteed going to be in front of an audience. So whether or not I had a mentor was immaterial to me because I didn't know that it even existed. I just went anyway. I kept persevering and it was difficult. And I asked questions. I asked questions of members and they were helpful. I mean, you know, Toastmasters is a community event. So you're going to get support anyway, even if you're not formally assigned to a mentor. So that's what I did. And then 3 months later, finally, my mentor walked in the door. He was doing a lot of traveling and introduced himself as my mentor and said, "So do you have any questions?" And I just, what? I was so confused what was even going on because I had been getting all of this mentorship through all the members of my club. But having a formal mentoring program just brings it all together into an organized process. It sure would not have taken all of that time for me to have to go myself and ask all those questions if there was a formalized program that was presented to me.
That makes sense. Are there any best practices or better practices that you could offer to clubs to either enhance their existing program or perhaps maybe put a new one in place?
Well, the first thing I would suggest for best practices is to choose wisely. I have learned the hard way that not everyone is suited to be a mentor. You cannot force people to be mentors. You need to find people who are very caring. I mean, they have to really care about the longevity and the progress of new members, that they're going to be willing to spend time with them. That would be number one. And then number two best practice is to have some sort of a training for those mentors. And then I think the third thing, like I'll just cover three because there's a lot more in this checklist. If anyone wants to really get into the weeds of mentoring and use this as a process, the third one I would suggest would be to really encourage mentors to meet in person on the day that the new member comes into the club. Have them all set up in advance. So, hey, we're going to induct this new member next Wednesday, and we just want to let you know that we have this new member coming in and ask if it would be okay if that person would be their mentor. So the agreement needs to be there. But then the next thing is, as a standard of our club, we really encourage that on the day of the induction that you move to wherever the new member is. If you haven't met that person yet, of course they should. I mean, before the meeting, they should be introduced to each other. But at least at the end of that meeting, they should go into their own meeting, one-on-one, meet for about 30 minutes, 45 minutes or so, and find out why this person has joined the club, what are their goals? What are their fears? What could happen over the course of this person's membership that could prevent them from reaching those goals? Is there something that might be happening at work coming up that they're not sure about? Are they caring for an elderly parent at home that could prevent them from coming to meetings? These kind of challenges need to come out because everybody can be worked with. You just have to adapt to their situation and not try to change the world in a day. I mean, you have to understand where they are in their career, in their life, if there's any challenges that you need to know about, and work forward from there.
And obviously reinforce the importance, the benefits of mentoring and the mentorship program.
That's right. And the one thing too that just came to mind is that Toastmasters is not a course. Sure, we have a curriculum that we follow and pathways, but it's not a week-long course or a couple of weeks. This is something that you should join with the intention of growing yourself over time. I always like to think that it takes a year just to really understand all the aspects of what Toastmasters, the club itself and the program itself, can do for you. But where you really make the strides is in year 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. I mean, I've been a member since 1990, as you said, and I'm still learning. There's still room for improvement after all this time. It's like playing a sport. I mean, you don't ever reach the top level and then stop. There's always more to learn. There's always more to experiment with. And as soon as you do get to that point, then opportunities open up. Hey, could you come speak at a TLI, Toastmasters Leadership Institute? Could you come be a guest at our club? Could you be the test speaker for our evaluation contest? There are all kinds of opportunities that start coming your way once you become comfortable with the club. So I would suggest one of the most important best practices for any mentor is to convey the importance of being with a Toastmasters club that they've joined for at least a year. Have the target out there to get them through their first year. Schedule everything you do, your work, your fun, your vacations, your travel, your relationships with your spouse or significant other. Schedule all of that around the Toastmasters meeting so that you can be assured to be at every single meeting, at least for that first year. If you can do that, then you're instilling a best practice that that person is going to adopt, and they will pass that down as they become mentors. So there's your continuity program there. It all begins with how you instruct those new members coming in, and then they eventually become mentors as well.
That sounds like sage advice, and it sounds like the key to success is to prioritize the mentoring program. Folks, if you've enjoyed our conversation with Marty and you now see the unexpected powers of mentorship and perhaps seeing it as a missing link for you or your club, I encourage you to share this with your family and friends and fellow Toastmasters. You can find the Toastmasters podcast at toastmasterspodcast.com, toastmasters.org, Apple, Spotify, and anywhere you get your podcasts. And don't forget to check out Marty's article, Build a Rockstar Mentoring Program, Having Strong Mentors Help Clubs and Members Grow and Stay Vibrant, which can be found in the March 2025 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Now, Marty, before we wrap up, can you give us one more time where people can get a hold of you, reach out to you, find out where they can get a hold of that all-important checklist that you spoke about?
Just send an email to me at marty@professionalpresenterstoastmasters.com, not org, .com.
We'll certainly put that into the show notes. Marty Dickinson, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. And thank you so much for your dedication to Toastmasters and for helping out all of those hundreds of mentees.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.